Good morning, everybody out there in United Kingdom Radio. This is Tom Harris, live from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and it is December the 11th at 10.02 p.m. as I record it. I know that there's a delay, and you probably won't hear this until 10.04. That is, of course, Central Standard Time, which is 4.02 p.m. over in the U.K. So, hello, everybody. This is Tom Harris live, as I mentioned. And I have to adjust my microphone here. Sorry about that. And I am sitting here today with you all wearing a Santa Claus hat. Yes, I do have a Santa Claus hat. And I have to reluctantly admit that I look very much like Santa Claus today, with my big white bushy beard and my red Santa hat, and I'm looking very, very Christmassy at the moment. Now, that reminds me, actually, that I do need to mention that I am going to be here as normal on December 25th. And I mentioned this on the last show, but I am going to be here on December the 25th. I'll be doing a special holiday show, and I'm inviting you all to participate in that show. So all you need to do is, if you want to do like a holiday shout out or an audio holiday greeting or any of that, to contact me here at United Kingdom Radio. My email address here is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. You can also email me tom@tomharrisusa.com. All the mail comes to the same address, so it really doesn't matter which one you use. And you can send in your holiday greetings, and I'll read them out if they're, you know, like emails. And you can shout out to all your friends and relatives. I'll be happy to read those out. And also, if you want to send in an audio clip, and I know we have at least one person out there who has already said that they're going to send in an audio clip, I'll be happy to play those out as well. The December 25th show is going to be a holiday show. So if anybody wants to participate, they should feel free to do so. And Chris is saying that I took him by surprise. Yes, yes, I'm taking you by surprise. I thought that I hadn't got on. Well, here I am, and here we are. So anyway, thanks to the great Chris Reardon for being on before me. And I guess he's not going to be on Tuesday this week. So I guess we'll talk to Chris next on Thursday. Hello to Stephen, who I see is listening, and also Matt from Canada. Fagash Lil, I believe, is here, and it looks like Mike might be here as well. So hello, guys. And we're going to talk a bit today about the Czech Republic. Yes, it's one of those travel shows, folks. And the reason why I'm doing another travel show so soon is because I actually wasn't able to think of anything to talk about on today's show. So it's like, I was going, well, if I can't think of anything, I'm going to do a travel show. So we're going to be talking today about the Czech Republic. But we'll get to that a little bit later. So anyway, you have 2 weeks, getting back to the subject that I was on. Sorry, I always do this, don't I? You have 2 weeks to get in your clips if you want anything to be played out on my December 25th show. And you can email them to me, or we can arrange a time that I can pick them up from you over Skype or whatever. Yeah, and I'll be happy to play them out on my show. And it promises to be kind of a good time. Now, if I get enough of these clips from people that are in emails and things, of people wanting to issue holiday greetings to our listeners, then I may actually go for a two-hour show. I've never done that before. I don't think I can do that, to be honest. Filling an hour is bad enough. but if you folks provide me with enough content, what I might do is come on an hour early on December the 25th, take over Chris Reardon's slot, because Chris has mentioned to me that he's not going to be here on December 25th. He'll be up in Lincolnshire at his sister's house because she can't leave the dogs. So that will be what I'm going to be doing on the 25th. And if, like I said, if anybody would like to participate, then they should feel free to do so. So I was just wondering what the snow is like where everybody is now. We finally have some snow here in Chicago, beautiful Chicago, Illinois. We had about 2 inches of snow about a week ago. I think it was either right before my last show or right after my last show. We finally had some significant snowfall, really kind of the first real snowfall that we've had this winter. And it is lovely. And it has been cold, and since it snowed that then, we really haven't had much more. We had a little dusting of it a couple of days ago, and of course, I was out in it. I actually spent some time, and I know this is just ridiculous. Somebody placed a geocache within about a half a mile of my house, and I was trying to be the first one to find it. And this is really common among the the geocaching community, the first to find. You get the little bit of it's not really a prize, but you get bragging rights. Yeah, I was the first one to find this. And when I saw that a new one had been activated, it kind of was activated, I think, about 6:30 in the evening on Thursday. And I saw that I just got lucky and happened to see it, and nobody had found it yet. So I decided to go out. And as I was going out, it started to snow and like gusty wind, very, very cold. And went out, and I was looking for this thing. And it was not far away, down near the beach, because I live right near Lake Michigan. I went down there, and I did find it. I was able to find it, but when I opened it up to sign the log and be the very first person to find it, somebody had beaten me there. So I wasn't the first to find it, but I did find it and had gone out into the freezing weather to go find it, because that's just the kind of the silly sod I am. Chris is telling me that Sean Riches will not be on today. I suppose he probably has some stuff to do. Can't leave the dogs. Yeah, can't leave the dogs. And Mike Cullen will also not be here at 9. So I guess I'm the last person on the schedule for today. And then you can listen, of course, to our pre-recorded shows. Mike is saying that he's here. Hello. Mike is saying that he will record a greeting the holiday show. Well, thank you very much. And sure. And there's no rush on that. You have a couple weeks to get that in, Mike. Bob, I don't know, is here. And he is saying to be here as normal, don't you have to be normal first? Yeah, Tom, you really need to come out of that closet. What closet, dear? I am not in the closet. I am not in the closet at all. Well, maybe a little bit, but not really. Fagashlo also says, I had a good 8 inches last week, but typically it didn't last long. Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that, Will. But we were talking about snow here. We really were talking about snow. And she's also said something very rude that I'm not going to read out. So, well, it's good to see that you all are here. I'm very, very happy. This is one of those shows that, you know, it's funny because I spend a lot of time thinking about stuff to do on the show. This week, I just couldn't think of anything. You know how that is. And I found that a couple of times when I was doing my pre-recorded show where I would just kind of have to wing it. And this is going to kind of be one of those shows. And then we'll talk about the Czech Republic a little bit later. But before we do that, let me find my little music here. We have Today in History. All right. And when you hear that music, you know it's time for the Today in History segment. And the day today is December 11th. In 1620, 103 Mayflower pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, and including one of my ancestors, incidentally. In 1688, King James II was arrested. There was no more details given. That's just very strange. In 1719, the first recorded display of Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, was recorded in the United States, or in what is now the United States, and that was in New England back in 1719. In 1816, Indiana became the 19th state of the Union, and the first black governor here in the U.S. took office. His name was Pinckney Benton Stewart Pinchback of the state of Louisiana, and can you guess what year that was? 1872. Quite a good long time ago. In 1901, Marconi sent the first transatlantic radio signal from Cornwall in the UK to Newfoundland in Canada. In 1909, colored moving pictures were demonstrated at the Madison Square Garden in New York City. Yeah, that's a lot earlier than I think a lot of people would assume. In 1931, the British Statute of Westminster gave complete legislative independence to several countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Ireland, and Newfoundland. In 1936, King Edward VIII abdicated the throne of the United Kingdom. His brother, the Duke of York, became King George VI. He was the father of the current queen, George VI was. And he then proceeded to marry Mrs. Wallis Simpson, who he abdicated the throne of England to marry. In 1972, astronauts Cernan and Harrison became the 11th and 12th people to walk on the moon. It's interesting. I know it's not that interesting. Quite a few years ago now, I think about 10 years ago now, I actually peed at a urinal next to Gene Cernan. So that's my little brush with fame there. And in 1979, Great Britain granted independence to Rhodesia, which became shortly thereafter the country of Zimbabwe. Famous birthdays on December 11th include the first atheist pope. Well, maybe not the first atheist pope, but certainly an outspoken atheist pope, Leo X, who was born Giovanni de' Medici. He was pope from 1513 to 1521 and has gone on record as saying, "The myth of this Christ has served us well." In 1803, Hector Berlioz, I don't know how to pronounce that, was born in France. He was a classical composer, recorded the, I think he did the Carnival of the Animals, I believe. In 1882, Fiorello LaGuardia, the mayor of New York City between 1933 and 1945, was born. And indeed, LaGuardia Airport in New York is named after him. In 1918, the Nobel Prize winning author Alexander Solzhenitsyn was born in Russia, author of the Gulag Archipelago, Cancer Ward, many other things. He won the Nobel Prize in 1970. In 1931, actress Rita Moreno was born in Humansao, Puerto Rico. Her name originally was Rosa Dolores Alverio. And she, of course, is known best for her role in West Side Story. In 1932, British actress Anne Haywood was born. In 1945, Robert Pickett, the rocker. In 1946, actress Terry Garr was born in Lakewood, Ohio. And in 1958, Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue was born in San Jose, California. So that is Today in History, and we have a caller online. Hello on Skype.
Hello there, it's Simon from the chilly Isle of Wight.
Hello, Simon, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I was just being nosy, really. You said you're sat there with your Santa hat on.
I'm sorry, well, I didn't quite catch that.
I said, you say you're sat there with your Santa hat on. Have you got your decorations up in your apartment as well?
I don't. And that's because I really don't celebrate the holiday. But I am wearing my Santa hat.
Well, at least you're making the effort, eh?
That's right. That's about as much effort as I'm going to make, though. I'll be doing, on Christmas Day, we'll be doing a show here on United Kingdom Radio, and that is the extent of my holiday celebration this year.
Oh, well, good for you for making the effort to be the only one to broadcast live. Very professional.
Well, thank you very much, sir. So how much snow do you have on the Isle of Wight right now?
Well, looking out of my bedroom window where I'm sat now, we've got absolutely none at all. But this time last week, we had, excuse the expression, I did hear your comment about 5 minutes ago. We did have a good 7-8 inches as well, snow, ice and dry.
Yeah, that's quite good. It's all melted already, though.
Yeah, it was very strange because we had some in January that sort of hung around for about a week, and the snow sort of on the side roads that wasn't cleared sort of froze and become like compacted ice, and it was a nightmare, but... So we had it on about Wednesday of last week, and when was it? Friday night, it started to fall, and we had some rain, and you got up Saturday, and it was all gone. It was most bizarre. It was like a winter landscape when you went to bed on Friday, and Saturday morning, it had all gone.
That's interesting. Now, I just had a quick... I have a question, because you know, I've been to the southwest of England, and I haven't been to the Isle of Wight, but I've been around that area, and I've... Do you have like a slightly warmer temperature overall than the rest of Britain there?
Well, yeah, allegedly. I think it's one of these sort of urban myths. A lot of people you speak to specifically about the Isle of Wight say that you very rarely get snow, because of the fact that obviously being an island, we're surrounded by water and the water sort of warms the clouds up. Although, I say, if you were living here last week, you'll realise that that sort of urban myth was sort of blown right out of the water. But I think southern England compared to the rest of the country definitely is milder, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I remember being in, what's it called, Penzance, and there being palm trees there. Do you have any palm trees there in the Isle of Wight?
We do, actually, in Ryde, yes, on Ryde Seafront. One of the many photos, I mean, in the age that we live in now of Facebook and the internet, of course, you get photos put on sites like that, obviously, very rapidly, don't you? Because people go out, if they happen to live in a certain area, that they take a photograph, wander back home. And, I mean, that can be on the net within sort of 10 minutes of the photo being taken. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a very bizarre photograph, both in our local paper and on the internet, of palm trees covered in a dusting of snow. It's most bizarre. See, only on the Isle of Wight could that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure, yeah, I would love to go to the Isle of Wight, but unfortunately the closest I've been there was the South Downs.
Oh, yeah. That's not too far away. I think you can almost see us on the clear day.
You can. You can see the Isle of Wight from the Downs if it's on a clear day. Not from like where the South Downs Trail begins in Winchester. That's still a little bit far, but you go down the trail a bit, like a day's hike down the trail, and you get beautiful views of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, we're very lucky here. I was born here. I've lived here all my life, and I think you become very blasé about the area you live in. But say, just behind my house, you've got some fantastic walks up on the Downs. And indeed, when we had the snow, I took the mother-in-law's dog for a walk, and I think I fell over more than walked mine. But I'm about 22 stone, so I think the residents of Upper Ventnor, where I live, thought we were having earthquakes as well as snow. They must have thought the world was coming to an end. Sort of.
Oh dear!
But no, it was all good fun. The dog didn't have any trouble because, of course, they got four-wheel drive dogs, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. Yeah.
But do you get a lot of snow in an average winter where you are?
It really depends. You know, last year we didn't get very much at all compared to what we normally get. I think there were a couple of pretty good snowfalls last year. And this year so far, we've only had, like I said, about 2 inches of snow. And then it kind of got compacted to ice, like you were talking about before. It warmed up a little bit. And then we had just a little dusting the other day. So we have a little bit on the ground, but not too much.
Do you find sort of heavy snowfall disrupts sort of like your daily life a lot where you are?
You know, the first heavy snowfall of the year, yes. But after that, people just kind of get on with it. And it doesn't really disrupt my life. And the reason, I tell you, one of the reasons why it doesn't is because I don't drive a car.
Very sensible. I wish I didn't.
Yeah, and because I live in Chicago, and I live in an urban area. You don't really need a car here. So I take the train everywhere. But that first snowfall you get, like a 8 to 12-inch snowfall, and we'll probably get a couple of them during the winter. You know, the first time that happens, there is some disruption, and people are slipping and sliding all over the place. And then the city will come and they'll spread salt down on all of the roads, and it'll be a little bit easier after that.
Because I get a bit annoyed over here, really, because I say last year, of course it wasn't. It was this year in January. We must have had certainly wasn't the only snow in 30 years, but the amount of snowfall we had, that was the largest snowfall we've had in 30 years. And people were jumping up and down about the bus service being stopped and how we pay our dues to our local council, and they don't clear the roads sort of well. But of course, that was the worst snow we'd had in 30 years. You can imagine if they bought sort of a fleet of snow plows for about £2 million or something, just plucking a figure out of the air. Mm-hmm. But by the time they would have used them sort of 30 years hence, they would have been rusted away. It's one of those things. You can only sort of work to the environment you normally have, don't you?
Fagash Lul is asking, she wants me to ask you, since the Isle of Wight is surrounded by the sea, do you get many lightning strikes on the island?
I've never really thought about it before. I don't think we get any more than than the average. I don't think it makes us a particular risk, just because we're the island. I can't remember the last bad lightning storm we had, actually. They normally go hand in hand with really hot summers, which we sort of haven't really had lately. But I don't think we stand any greater risk than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I used to live in Southwest Florida, and Florida, of course, is sort of the lightning strike capital of the country. I think we get more lightning strikes there than anywhere else in the country.
That could be another place where one of these urban myths about lightning never striking twice could be disproved there. Then,
that's completely mythical. You know, the lightning rod on top of the Empire State Building gets hit by lightning. It's like 1,000 times a year or something.
Yeah, I'm not a great lover of thunderstorms. I don't know why. Perhaps it's something from my childhood. My mum, bless her, was quite old when she had me, so it's quite a generation thing. But I remember when, you'll probably wonder what on earth I'm going on about, but every time we had lightning, either at night or during the day, my mum would fling a blanket or something over a mirror. It's odd. It must have been like a superstition. I think that sort of like stuck with me, really. It's quite odd.
How very odd. I've heard about that. I think it is a superstition, but I haven't really I really haven't investigated that one. I think that I find those things really, really interesting. These sort of strange superstitions. Paul Edwards is online. He says that he'd like to send a Christmas audio in. Thank you very much, Paul. We look forward to that. And
I don't know what I'll be up to on Christmas Day, but I'll try and give you a listen. Even.
All right.
It's a mere mention of Christmas Day. So he's made me so stressed that I can't even talk.
Oh dear. Well, you know, you can do what I do and just ignore it.
Well, yeah, it's a bit more difficult with kids. They don't let you.
Oh, yeah. That would kind of, that would be problematic, yeah.
Yeah, mind you, bless them. It's what makes them all about. But then they're not so little now. They're 10 and 14. So.
Ah, yeah.
I've got one still with me now who's very, very quiet, just listening to what's going on. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Simon, for listening. And I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Thanks for a good show.
Thank you much. And we'll talk to you soon. And that was Simon there on the Isle of Wight. Vagash Lil saying, is it not cheating to geocache in the snow, as once the first person finds it, it's therefore it's easier for everyone else? I don't think it's cheating, but I didn't see any footprints around the area where the cache was hidden. And I think that the snow actually probably started in earnest after the first person had found it. Now, I got there, I was just talking about that, I think when Simon's call came in, that I was actually there about 10 minutes after the first person found it. So anyway, but one of these days I'll be first to find. I'm not one of these people who has to be the first to find on geocaches. I don't invest myself in the hobby that much that would, I have to be the first one to find it, and because I don't have a car, as I was just saying to Simon, I don't have the range. I don't have the range to be first to find on a lot of stuff. And there aren't a lot of caches right around me in the immediate area. It's, out a little bit further west in the suburbs and north in the suburbs. There's tons of them, thousands and thousands, but not right around here. And I think, that has to do with the urban environment that we find ourselves in. Bob is asking, she said, why the hell am I wearing a Santa hat? And I presume it's on your head. Yes, Lil, it is on my head. It's a little bit squinched down because of the headphones that I'm wearing. And I tell you, I wouldn't even have the Santa hat. I didn't actually buy this. I got this for free. And I got it, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago at a bar, and I went there with a couple of friends, and I think it was on, the early December, about 5 or 6 years ago, and they were giving these away at the door, and I still have it. It's this cheap thing. Fagashel is also asking, is it only the UKR presenters who can send in a recorded message? No, indeed it's not. Anybody can send in a recorded message, including you, Lil. In fact, I would love to have a message from you. Fantastic. I would love to play out a message from you. I thought that you said you're Sado listeners, goodness, well, but that Mike Cullen guy is trying to cause trouble on Facebook. Shame on you, Mike. Shame on you. Of course, anybody out there, anybody listening, is more than welcome to send in a holiday clip, whether it's a, you know, just an email that you want me to read out, or indeed a pre-recorded clip, and that goes for anybody out there. Doesn't matter who you are, and just get it into me by, you know, the night before Christmas. Get it into me by, you know, let's say about, you know, midnight on Christmas Eve, and then I'll be sure to read it out. I'm going to go ahead and take a very, very quick break here, and I'm going to play a couple of trails for you and clear my throat a little bit, and then I'll be right back.
Hello, it's Paul Edwards here, and I have a brand new slot on United Kingdom Radio, and I'm on a Sunday evening for 2 hours between 7 and 9pm. So help me out here. I need you all. Call the show and talk about the topics or anything you want to. So I look forward to speaking to you all soon on United Kingdom Radio.
Hi, it's Supo. I tried to be more political and edgy. Doesn't seem to work. So it's back to simply being United Kingdom Radio Sex Goddess. Join me live Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time, 12 noon New York time, for some random chat with a little sensuality thrown in. I can't help it.
And thank you, everybody, for being patient with me. And now we have our weekly feature here. Chris Reardon has decreed.
Chris Reardon!
Beep, 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 ding!
And this
I love it!
And this week on Chris Reardon has decreed, stepped over Chris there. Let me play that again.
I love it!
All right. So as always, I scour Chris Reardon's old shows and find out what Chris Reardon has decreed this week. This time I just have one clip for you folks. Have not had really a lot of time to comb through the shows. And here it is.
Keep your nose out of other people's affairs.
And that was Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. Stay tuned for next time when Chris might say something like this.
Now, I'm going to have to take my trousers down and blow bubbles out of my bottom. What a load of old twaddle that is!
All right, so here we are back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Czech Republic. Hang on a second. I do have a breaking news. Breaking news here, folks. Stephen Parker will be doing Mike Cullen's slot tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. here on United Kingdom Radio. So just stay tuned for Stephen. It will be on at 9. I don't know if I'll be here or not, but hopefully I will be. Looking forward to that, at least in the podcast. Mike is saying, sorry, team. Probably because he can't make it tonight. But that's all right. You know, we understand that you got to go out. And you have to make a living somehow, right? And you know, if you're doing that by DJing, good for you. And after all, you don't get paid for this, and you do get paid for that. And I kind of understand that. All right, so moving on. We're going to talk a little bit about the Czech Republic today. Probably we'll end up running over a little bit into next week. Because I have, I think, a fair amount to say. And I'm not going to talk about Prague on this show. And the reason why I'm not going to talk about Prague on this show specifically is because Prague is one of those cities that I think you can actually do a whole segment just on that city alone, as opposed to somewhere like Dubrovnik or Zagreb. I think Prague really kind of deserves its own thing. So I'm going to be talking just kind of generally about the Czech Republic. And I was there back in 1996, as with a lot of the other places in Europe that I visited for the first time. And I was distracted there for a moment. And I just had, before I start, some fun facts about the Czech Republic. Now, as you all know, the Czech Republic is the former Czechoslovakia. And it's sort of the Czech Republic is sort of a relic of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It was actually back in the Middle Ages, Bohemia and Moravia were their own little kingdoms. And then they were consolidated under the Habsburgs and as part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And sort of lumped together with Slovakia as the country of Czechoslovakia. And nothing bothers me more, folks, than to hear somebody today, in this, in 2010, referring to the Czech Republic as Czechoslovakia. I know. It's like people saying, calling Russia the Soviet Union. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. But we'll have some fun facts here about the Czech Republic. The capital and largest city of the Czech Republic is Prague, as we do. The official language of the Czech Republic is Czech, and the currency, the traditional currency is the koruna. I don't know if there's, are they still using that or are they on the euro now? I think they might be on the euro now. The Czech Republic constitutes of three historical lands, mainly Bohemia in the west, Moravia in the southeast, and Czech Silesia in the northeast. The major rivers of the country are the Vltava and the Elbe. Over 92% of the country's total population comprises of Czech people, while the remaining population is divided among Slovaks, Germans, Poles, Ukrainians, Vietnamese, Hungarians, Russian, Romani, which are like the Gypsies, Bulgarians, and Greeks. Czech Republic became a member of NATO in 1999 and of the European Union in 2004. The Czech Republic, along with Estonia, the Nordic countries, France, and the Netherlands, is one of the least religious countries in the world. As per 2005 Eurobarometer poll, only 19% indicated that they believe in God. About 59% of the population is agnostic, atheist, or non-believer. About 26.8% is Roman Catholic, while 2.5% is Protestant. That means that an awful lot of those people who identify as Christian are actually atheists. Czech people are the world's heaviest consumers of beer. That's a little fact out there for Paul Edwards there. Looking very much forward, incidentally, to his cider show coming up. Per capita, Czech people drink 160 liters or 43 gallons of beer. And there's evidence of beer brewing in the area of the Czech Republic since at least the 10th century. The Czech Republic is world-renowned for its spa cities, and particularly those along the border of Germany. The most famous among them are Karlsbad, or in Czech, Karlovy Vary. I'm really bad at pronouncing Czech, folks, so please don't correct me. Františkovy Lázně, which was used to be known as Franzensbad, and Teplice, which was Teplitz in German. Škoda Auto, one of the largest car manufacturers in Central Europe, is based there. And the Czech Republic is the second richest country in Eastern Europe after Slovenia. The sugar cube was invented in the Czech town of Datice in 1843. The soft contact lens was invented in Czechoslovakia, back in the day, by Professor Otto Wichtele in 1961. The word robot comes from the Czech language and was first introduced in Karel Kepak's science fiction play RUR. Even despite the fact that the Czech Republic is considered part of Eastern Europe, Prague is actually further to the west than Vienna, Austria. The Prague Castle is the largest castle area in the world. Its three courtyards and a number of magnificent buildings cover over 7 hectares, or 18 acres. And incidentally, the Prague Castle is the official home of the president of the Czech Republic, although Václav Havel actually refused to live there. He hated the castle and refused to actually live there. The Czech Republic is one of the countries with the highest density of castles in the world. And I can vouch for that personally. And the town square in Český Budějovice is the second largest preserved town square in Europe. So famous people from the Czech Republic include the religious reformer Jan Hus, the early proponent of universal education, Jan Amos Comenius, the classical music composers Bedřich Smetana, and Antonín Dvořák, and of course the German language author Franz Kafka. Other people who you may not realize were from the Czech Republic are Sigmund Freud, Ivana Trump, Oskar Schindler, who you may be familiar with from the film Schindler's List, and the English playwright Tom Stoppard. That one came as a bit of a surprise to me. He was actually born in Zlín, Czechoslovakia, and his original name was Thomas Strausler. So, just talking a little bit here. Mike is asking a quick question here. So just a question, Tom. I'm wondering why people from America and Canada call their programs segments. What does it mean? Is it just an American word? When I receive music shows from American broadcasters, they refer to their shows as segments. Well, the way I use the term segments, Mike, is, for example, I don't call my entire show a segment. However, I would call, like, Today in History a segment, or I would call Chris Reardon Has Decreed a segment, or indeed the travel parts of the show I would call a segment. That's kind of how I view a segment as being part of a show, not the whole show. Bob, I don't know, is saying that she loves sugar cubes. You know, horses love sugar cubes too, I found. Not that Bob, I don't know, is anything like a horse. So anyway, getting back to the topic. And incidentally, if anyone wants to join in, they can please feel free to do so. I forgot to give the contact information earlier, but the there is a phone number for the show if you're in the UK. It's a local London area number. It's not a premium rate number. And the number is 020-3287-1488. Or indeed, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. I forgot to do an advertisement on Facebook today. Shame on me. But anyway, I've been interested in the Czech Republic for a very long time, and there's a very specific reason for that, and that is because I myself, Tom Harris of Tom Harris USA and United Kingdom Radio, am half Czech. My mother's family is Czech on both sides, going back to as long ago as we can possibly find. Now, of course, to say you're Czech is can be problematic because, as I said, there's actually kind of a wide variety of ethnicities. There's a lot of, especially in Bohemia, a lot of people who are ethnically German. They aren't Slavic. So there's probably a kind of an element of German lineage in there as well. But both my grandparents on my mother's side were from Czech families. So my grandmother's maiden name was Niemitz, which means German in Czech, which is why I think that there might be some German in there. And my mother's father was named Jeshrabek, or Jerebek in English. So I am half Czech myself. And so I've always been interested in it. And finally, you know, got my opportunity back in 1996 when this was just after the Czech Republic had become independent from the Warsaw Pact. Yeah, the Soviet influence was no longer there. They kind of declared themselves independent, and that gave me this opportunity to be the first member of my generation to. I don't think I was the first member of my generation, though. Now that I think about it, be one of the first people of my generation and my family to actually go back to the old country. Now, my ancestors came out of Moravia. And they came out of there in the 1830s. They left at a time when the government of the Austro-Hungarian Empire were persecuting the Hussites. That my ancestors were actually, they were followers of Jan Hus, who I mentioned earlier. And they were persecuted by the Catholic government. Now, the Habsburg family were, you know, a big Catholic family. And so it was not a good environment for them to be in. Now, they saw, and rightfully so, that there was opportunity for them in the United States. And they packed up, they saved up their money. They went from from their little villages in Moravia to Bremen, Germany. And from there went to train to Hamburg. And then from Hamburg actually sailed into Baltimore. Back in I think it was 1832. I don't know right offhand. I'd have to look it up, and I don't really want to do that right now. And from there, they kind of made their way west across what was, you know, the early U.S. at that point, to the area that we call now Minnesota. And they settled in the southern part of Minnesota, both families, not very far from each other. And that's where they lived until my grandfather's generation. And so that is why we do our family reunion every third year up in Minnesota, because that is where the family originally settled. Now, there are a lot of Czech people in Minnesota, and that's particularly in that part of Minnesota. And indeed, there's a large Czech enclave here in Chicago. Indeed, Gene Cernak was the mayor of Chicago. There's a major road here in Chicago that's named after him. Was actually born in Czechoslovakia. So that is a little bit of trivia there. Baba Dano is saying, asking if she looks like a horse. No, that's Sarah Jessica Parker that looks like a horse. I think Ann Coulter looks like a horse as well. Maybe that's just me. So I did finally get this opportunity to go back to the Czech Republic back in 1996. And I did a lot of research. I looked into a lot of the, you know, we're very fortunate to have my great aunt Esther, my grandfather's sister, who did a lot of research into the family history and find out, you know, she kept track of where the family came from, the little villages. And I went into there and I looked up all the little villages and I decided, okay, let's look at a map. Let's see where they all are. And I'm going to go and I'm going to explore that part of the Czech Republic. I'm going to go there myself and see where the family came from. Now, that, of course, is easier said than done. And particularly in 1993, because there were, of course, well-established rail lines and airports and so forth coming into Prague and a couple of the other larger towns in Bohemia, but not so much in the rural area of Moravia. The largest city in the area is Brno. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It's Brno, and that is hardly the it's kind of a backwater, really. It's not a very big town. But it's well known for various other reasons, and maybe someday I'll talk a little bit about that. But managed to, I actually left Berlin by train and booked a ticket from Berlin to Prague. It was an overnight trip, and then about halfway between, you stop at the border. And at that point, your rail pass would no longer work. I was able to between Berlin and the border of the Czech Republic, was able to travel for free using my rail pass. But then I had to spend about $30 US, which is outrageously expensive, as I found in the Czech Republic, to travel between the border and Prague. So actually rolled into Prague mid-morning and had to go look for a place to stay. I didn't have any pre-booking. And this was in the summertime, so it wasn't terribly busy. But this was also before Prague became sort of the tourist central that it is now. This was a really interesting time to be there. And just as I had found in East Berlin just a week before, everything was under construction. It was, you know, there was lots of renovation going on. There were lots of infrastructure being rebuilt. During the Soviet era, things had become very run down. And so there was a lot of renovation, and particularly of, St. Wenceslaus Cathedral and a lot of this stuff. I'll talk about later. I'm talking about a different show. And was able to find accommodation eventually. Spent a few days in Prague and then moved on. Now, my grandfather's family is from an area in Moravia near the town of Jihlava. Jihlava is the nearest large town, and I had to find a way to get from Prague to Jihlava. Now, there are trains in the Czech Republic, but they don't have a very extensive train network. They sort of go between the sort of key towns, and then you kind of have to walk or hitchhike or so forth to some of the other areas. And I have to keep an eye on the time here because I see that I am actually running out of time more quickly than I had thought. But I had done is I'd take the train from Prague to a town called Zdar Natsatsevo. That was the nearest town to where I was going. And it wasn't very far. It was about an eight-mile walk between Zdar Natsatsevo and Hielava. So I decided I was going to go ahead and walk that rather than to try to find a bus or a train or whatever. So the local train, it's really interesting. You come into Prague, you know, from Germany, and you're on these beautiful, you know, modern German trains. And you get into Prague, and, you know, it's all very, you know, very nice and urban and, you know, sort of your typical European city in a lot of ways. And then you go out of Prague, and then you start to see the real Czech Republic. Because Prague isn't like the rest of the country. Prague is very Western when you compare it to the west of the rest of the country. And you almost immediately after leaving Prague, you see the difference. And you go from this lovely city, as nice as it is, into these rural areas that are significantly less wealthy. And it looks like something out of the Middle Ages. And a lot of these little towns that you pass have medieval buildings. I mean, and ruined castles, like you said earlier in the show, the one of the highest concentrations of castles in Europe. Most of the larger towns will have the remains of a castle. And that's, you know, the fragmented nature of how this area was in the past, back during the Middle Ages. And I was able to get to Zdar with no problem. And then when I got there, I decided I was going to have to find a map. And I kind of went around in Zdar and was looking for a good map. I had a very basic map, which only showed major roads. And I realized right away I wasn't going to be able to find my way to where I was going unless I had a better map. So I finally did find, in one of these bookstores, a little bookstore in Zdar, was able to find a Marco Polo road atlas of the Czech Republic and Slovakia. I still have it, incidentally. It's in the closet, a few feet away from me. And I used that basically as my roadmap. But what I didn't actually account for was the fact that these were based on Soviet-era roadmaps. And the Soviets were well-known for doing maps that weren't exactly accurate. They would hide things. Or they would not show a road if they didn't want people going to a certain area. They would just not show a road going there. So it became very, very confusing at times while I was using this to navigate. But I was able to find the road to Hielava, not a very far walk. So I decided to walk it. Beautiful walk, incidentally. And not the prettiest part of the country, but it was it looked a lot like Wisconsin, to be honest. Rolling hills, lots of farms. And every so often you come to a little settlement, a little town. And the thing I remember, you know, this was really kind of my first experience of the real Czech Republic, is hiking through along the freeway, which was a two-lane road. It wasn't really a freeway in the modern sense, but it was a main road. And finding, you know, these collective farms, these Soviet-era collective farms, they were sitting there idle. And they'd been sitting there idle for a number of years. And you could see that nobody was really doing any work there. They weren't growing anything there. And the reason why, of course, is because they were in the process of repatriation, I guess, or selling these parcels of lands that were actually stolen from the aristocracy during the communist era. And they had not yet returned these to their owners or figured out who the owners were, who was entitled to the land, etc. So there's all these hundreds of collective farms along this highway that there was nothing going on. And you can see where they had, you know, been growing flax or poppies or whatever. A lot of this going on there. And what I thought was particularly nice about these roads is that during the Soviet era, they had planted fruit trees along both sides of the highway. And of course, the local people were there. They were picking the plums off the plum trees. It was that time of year when they could go out and actually gather the fruit from the trees. And since they were along the public roadway, they weren't really part of the farm. But you have to admire at least you know, this planning of planting these fruit trees every, you know, 100 feet or so along the roadway. And I thought that it was just lovely to be able to pick fresh plums off of the fruit trees as we go. Bob is saying I should extend the show today. Well, I'm not going to do that today, but I will continue, of course, this next week, and we'll get to finish that off next week, because I'm not even halfway through my story yet, so I would have to be on for hours. And unfortunately, I do have other plans today, so I'm going to cut this off here in a few minutes. So what I did is I hiked from Štardatsatsevo down to Jelava, which is sort of the major kind of area. And from there, I was able to get a bus to the town of Jimramov. Now, Jimramov is actually the capital of the little area where my grandfather's family came from. They came from a little town called Dalecin. And Dalecin is near Jelava, very close, so just a couple miles down the road. And it's very, very easy to walk between the two of them. And I went to Jelava thinking that there would be a hotel there, because, of course, my guidebook said that there was a hotel there. Well, when I got there, I realized very, very quickly that the hotel was closed. They had closed it because they were renovating it to allow tourists to come and visit this area. And they had to raise this to a standard that Westerners would actually want to stay there. But asking around, I don't speak any Czech at all, maybe a few words, was able to find the name of somebody who worked at City Hall in Jelava, in Jimramov, and was able to find through him that the City Hall at Jimramov had a couple of rooms to let. Now, these are rooms that were used for VIPs. They were used for visiting dignitaries and so forth. They had nothing fancy here, but it was offered a place to stay for two nights. For about $10 a night, was able to stay at the City Hall building in Jimramov. And they said, well, you can stay for two nights, and after that you have to leave because we have a dignitary coming in from Prague. But it made for a really, really nice stay. You know, they weren't by any means luxurious in any way, but for $10 a night, you couldn't beat it. It had a working shower with hot and cold water and a comfortable bed. That's all I really cared about. And from there, I was able to explore the surrounding countryside. I was able to walk to Dalecin, which is where my ancestors actually came from. Now, interestingly enough, I was actually able to communicate well enough to that they understood that I had ancestors who came from their town. And I said, they asked me the name, what the name of my family was, and I told them, Yeshabek, which is the name of the family. They not only knew who my family were, and this is after over 100 years of not living there, they not only knew who my family were, they knew the house they lived in, and were actually able to point that out to me, which house that I took photos, of course. I didn't want to bother the people who actually lived in the house, because all of these houses are still being lived in this little tiny medieval town. There's still actually people living in that house, so I didn't want to bother them, but I did take some pictures. And the other interesting thing about Dalecin is that there's a castle there, a ruined castle, and that had been the guard tower for the trade route. They're the main highway through Dalecin, which is a two-lane road, was actually a major trade route back in the Middle Ages. And the castle was built there to protect the travelers and the traders from bandits. And what eventually happened was the trade routes changed. They didn't need the castle anymore, so they kind of left it there abandoned. And then, of course, who would take up residence in the castle? Well, the bandits took up residence in the castle. And we're terrorizing the countryside from Dalecin, which actually the emperor of Austria sent in troops. They tore down the castle, so the castle now is a kind of a ruin. But very, very interesting, and it's really, I have to say, it's really something to go back to a place like this and say, this is where I am from. in some sort of abstract way, this is where I was from. And in that sense, you know, I finally started to think, you know, of the Czech Republic as being sort of like my home, you know, at least my ancestral home, and feeling a connection to it. I'm going to continue this next week. I've actually got to sign off for now. But thanks for listening. And I'll be on next week, and I will give you more of my Czech journey, and hope that you've all enjoyed this bit. So this is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next week.